Did you know the right lighting, sound, and interactivity executed at the right time in support of your meeting's messages can have a profound impact on attendee learning? New findings in neuroscience indicate proper meeting design can go a long way to improve message reception and retention. Learn more at psav.com/research.
What do gray rhinos, the acronym FOMO, and concepts of positive psychology, customer loyalty, and transformational innovation all have in common? Well, these are just a few of the subjects thought leaders speaking at the upcoming Convening Leaders 2016 conference will be covering. In this month's PCMA Convening Leaders preview, executive editor Christopher Durso spoke with five sought-after speakers about what they think you should be thinking about and what they'll be addressing at Convening Leaders 2016 in Vancouver. An entrepreneur and speaker, Johnny Earl is the founder of Johnny Cupcakes, which isn't a bakery, but rather a multi-million dollar fashion brand that sells t-shirts and accessories emblazoned with his company's distinct cupcake and crossbones logo. What will you be talking about at Convening Leaders 2016? I will be discussing why and how little things can yield big results by paying attention to often overlooked details and using creative thinking in our day-to-day, we can accomplish a lot more than our competitors. What is the most common mistake people make when it comes to trying to grow their business? As some businesses grow, people, or the people they answer to, are afraid to try new things because it might interrupt their workflow in a negative way. However, what if it does the complete opposite and changes things forever in positive ways? Is there a lesson here for people who plan or support meetings and other live events? Well, everything has been done before. People have planned and attended events of all sorts. Why will yours stand out? Now more than ever, it's crucial to be unique. There are so many ways to reinvent someone's experience, so much so that you'll have them talking about your event and doing the advertising for you. Through sharing my experiences, you'll walk away with loads of notes, which will help you grow your business and ideas. Do you have one takeaway that you'd like your audience to go away with? To gain customer loyalty, one must be loyal to their customers. I will present many ways on how one can attain customer loyalty with spending little to no money. Next, we spoke with Michelle Walker, a former financial journalist who went on to serve as president of the World Policy Institute and vice president of studies at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Walker is the author of Lockout: Why Americans Keep Getting Immigration Wrong When Our Prosperity Depends on Getting It Right, and, coming in February, The Gray Rhino: How to Recognize and Act on the Obvious Dangers We Ignore. What will you be talking about at Convening Leaders 2016?
It's basically to point out how bad we are at dealing with highly obvious things. There's this very basic human impulse to ignore what we know we have to deal with. You multiply that by the number of people in a community, in an organization, in a country, on the planet, and you start to get a little bit better idea of why we are so bad at dealing with obvious things. The last several years, we've seen a lot more interest in behavioral economics and the things that we can do to create new habits, to make ourselves aware of some of our blind spots and difficulties in recognizing things. Once you're able to recognize those and visualize them to get something emotional to hang on to, you can do a lot better at keeping it in the front of your head and actually motivating yourself to do something.
Why do people and organizations tend to ignore gray rhinos, which you describe as high-impact, highly likely threats, in favor of black swans, which are rare and unlikely crises?
It's a combination of things. We have a defensive mechanism. As Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talked about in her work on death and dying, denial is the first stage. That's to protect us from a shock. The second factor is that there are a lot of cognitive biases that often turn around and lead us to denial. Our decision-making systems, the way we talk about things in groups, the way we turn to other people for affirmation, and the way we are more likely to prioritize short-term gains. The other reason that we do this is there are a lot of structural problems, perverse incentives. If you know you're going to get bailed out, you'll go and do increasingly risky behavior. Every time you take a risk and it turns out okay, you're more likely to take more risks because the consequences aren't always immediately apparent.
Is there a role meetings and conferences can play in helping their attendees focus on the gray rhinos of their industry?
That's actually interesting, and I'm really glad you made that connection. Look at the digital world and what it's done to traditional media. The way a lot of successful media companies have dealt with that is to increasingly make money off conferences and meetings and in-person opportunities to network and interact that become that much more important when we do so much online. It's the quality of the in-person interaction that's going to determine whether people show up at your conference or not.
Do you have one takeaway that you'd like your audience to go away with?
The main thing is that you need to recognize that things stand in the way of seeing what's right in front of you that could be very, very dangerous. Those obstacles aren't insurmountable. With the right strategies, you can see what's in front of you. You can figure out how to deal with it. You can not only avoid being trampled, but you might actually end up being better off for it.
Mel Robbins practiced as a defense attorney before transitioning to her current career as a CNN commentator and author of Stop Saying You're Fine, the No BS Guide to Getting What You Want. She delivered a well-received closing general session at the 2015 PCMA Education Conference, which is when Convene got to ask her a few questions. What is the key to getting what we want?
There are two invisible forces that are holding you back. One of the invisible forces is how life in modern society is shutting down your higher brain functioning and shutting down your impulse for action. And the second thing that's an invisible force that is stopping you is fear.
What is it that we fear?
You only have two fears. The first fear is the fear of death itself. What it actually is simply the fear that something unknown is about to happen, and you're afraid you can't survive it. You're fearing that if you took a risk, if you went out and swung for the fences and tried something crazy, different, new, exciting at your next event that you're putting on, you fear that it could be wrong, so you get paralyzed and you don't do it. And there's another fear that we're going to discuss that's actually the good fear. It's the fear you want. It's called FOMO, the fear of missing out.
FOMO sounds like something you could really take advantage of to attract people to your meeting or conference.
Absolutely. In fact, if you really think about it, what is the psychological driving force of Facebook, of Twitter, of Snapchat, of Meerkat, of Periscope, of all those things? The driving force is the fear of missing out. That's why everybody is logging on to these things. It's fundamental. Your conferences need to be so awesome, in your opinion, that people would be morons not to go because it's going to be such an incredible opportunity.
Do you have one takeaway that you'd like your audience to go away with?
I want every person in that audience to be reminded just how remarkable they are. And I want them to feel inspired again about the opportunity that it is and how cool it is to get to plan events that can change the course of people's careers.
A psychologist by training, Robert Biswas-Denier is a trainer, coach, and author of Happiness, Unlocking the Mysteries of Psychological Wealth, The Courage Quotient, How Science Can Make You Braver, and most recently, The Upside of Your Dark Side, Why Being Your Whole Self, Not Just Your Good Self, Drives Success and Fulfillment. What will you be talking about at Convening Leaders 2016? I will be speaking about positive psychology. Writ broadly, that's sort of what makes people function well. Instead of just asking the question that psychology has always asked, what goes wrong with people, we're interested in what goes right with people. Often that's in a work context, so we're interested in what does good leadership mean? How do people achieve goals? What motivates folks? How do they work together? What's conflict resolution? How are people hospitable to one another? How do they support one another? Do leaders tend to focus on what's wrong instead of what's right in their organizations? They do a little bit of both. The most classic business analysis is the SWOT analysis, where you look at strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats. I think within that there is some sense of balancing. We want to pay attention to what goes wrong. We don't want our ship to sink, but we also want to capitalize on what goes right. And this is where positive psychology comes in. Just to say, hey, we might have some insights as a result of research on that what goes right side of things. I'm wondering if that also could be applied to helping meeting planners create more positive experiences or environments for attendees. I think that's exactly right. If you look, for example, at the science of hospitality, like at what comes out of Cornell's hotel management studies, they are interested in things like, should you have one line in the lobby or two lines? The idea is, once you have two lines, people feel like they're in the wrong line if the other one's moving faster. If you have one line, you can make them wait, and they're a little bit more okay with that. I think that that kind of stuff is interesting. Do you have one takeaway that you'd like your audience to go away with? I want them to come away with a 90-degree view of something that maybe they've been living with their entire life, something like happiness, but they've just never thought about it in this particular way. It might leave some of them scratching their heads or confused or whimsical or puzzled or curious, but I want them to have that feeling that they want to get up and continue the conversation with the people around them. The fact that we are together as a group experiencing something simultaneously, that's what a meeting is, and that's why we're not doing it all at home in our pajamas through the internet. Next, we spoke with Michelle Stacy, an accomplished corporate executive who served as president of Keurig and before that in a variety of leadership positions with Gillette, overseeing brands such as Crest, Oral-B, and Mach 3. She serves on the boards of directors of Tervis Tumbler Company and Young Innovations Incorporated, and is an expert in residence at the Harvard Innovation Lab. What will you be talking about at Convening Leaders 2016?
We all have to understand what it takes to lead, particularly in formulating meetings. We're all about creating teams to create a great meeting experience. Some of the things that I'll talk about are, how do we engage all the individuals in a team? Because it's when teams are fully engaged that they're at their most effective. Teams do best when each individual is valued.
What is the most common mistake that leaders make when it comes to engaging or motivating their employees?
One of the big things that leaders make the mistake of is not showing that they're human and not being willing to apologize when they're human in a bad way sometimes. We're not always at our best, right? I think great leaders know when they're not at their best, and they're willing to say, I'm not at my best right now, or I apologize for that. You'll also be speaking at the Women at Work Forum at Convening Leaders. My woman's speech is really going to talk about building a career. My career path involved being part of a dual career family. I've raised two children. They're both adults now.
What are some of the compromises as you build a career? And is a dual career, full-time working arrangement the right thing for you?
One of the biggest things that I learned in my career was the concept of stepping back for a while. Every time I've stepped back from my career, it's given me new perspectives so that when I step forward again, I was a much better leader and a much better performer.
Do you have one takeaway that you'd like your audience to go away with?
Great leadership and great innovation come when people can be themselves and share their humanity. It comes when they respect and value all of their team members.